Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from our weekend service. We pray that as you listen, you will encounter the life and love of Jesus and be encouraged to experience what we've found to be the best life possible.
A couple weeks ago, we started with the God of creation, that first verse that really speaks to the created elements that we see around us and just those things that reflect His glory and challenge us to respond to who He is and what He's done. They simply shine where He's placed them. They spin where He created them and balance their... If the stars were made to worship, so will I. If creation sings your praise, then so will I. And today we advance a great deal. From inanimate objects and things that don't have breath in them to all of a sudden in the second verse, He's a God of His promise. And it comes into life for us. That means things start not just taking shape and form and function, but they also have life through His Word. It's powerful for us to process that and to realize the ability of what He is and what He does. The goal we have here is obviously to inspire us through who He is and what He's done, so that we see His heart not only in objects, in an inanimate object and beauty of what we see around us, but also through the life that He gives to everything around us. It's all dependent on Him. Every creature catching his breath, as the song says, man, it's just powerfully poetic and beautiful in its truth. So He is His Word. That life that we find in living things on this planet, He is the source of that. He is life. And so he speaks that and it happens. And so when He speaks, and we'll talk about this, that's kind of what we're looking into the second verse today. He is the God of His promise, or God of your promise. When He speaks, it is. When I speak, it might be. Right? Hopefully. Fingers crossed, right? But when He speaks, it is. He brings things to existence simply by verbalizing them, by speaking them out. His Word is truth. Whatever He speaks becomes. The song states it wonderfully. You don't speak in vain. No syllable empty or void. Many of us are probably thinking of somebody, and don't look at them, please don't look at them, who maybe is the opposite of void syllables. Or is the epitome of void syllables, where there's lots of talk and very little, you know, don't look at them. Don't look at them. Just pray for them quickly, okay. And if you're not thinking of anybody, might be you. Okay, anyway, so. a lot of people, we have words. We are full of words. We like to get real expressive with verbiage, and we talk and talk and talk. And sometimes that might not be truth, and sometimes it might be. A lot of times it's opinion. If you've turned the TV on recently, there's all kinds of opinion. And everyone else is to blame for everything else, right? There's lots of talk, but God doesn't ramble. God doesn't run on and on. He speaks and it is. There's no syllables wasted. He doesn't mutter under His breath, walking away from you. He doesn't waste a single syllable. Every word, every part of every word is truth. Nor does He trick or deceive us. He's not sarcastic. He speaks truth. He doesn't mislead us or misguide us or misdirect us. He doesn't do that. He simply speaks the truth. And it becomes reality. We know in Isaiah chapter 55 that God's word does not return void or empty. It accomplishes exactly what He intends it to. From the very beginning, God has desired to bless humanity. On Wednesday night, we're walking through the Bible and how to read the Bible and how to get the most out of that. And we even made sense of Leviticus Wednesday night. Wow, right? Like, woo, that's a challenge, right? We got into Leviticus and we saw some beautiful structure and understanding there of what God's created for us there. But even since the book of Genesis and the creation of time and itself, from the moment when things started ticking, God has been desiring to bless us. He wants us to have a blessed relationship with Him, A blessed experience, not a miserable one, not a frustrating one, a blessed one. That's his intention all along, and everything he's spoken and everything he's said into existence or spoken to happen, it's also that we will be blessed. Like, well, how's that possible? Because everything he has is for your best intention, for your best design for you. That's how he's created, and that's how he's created us, and what he continues to do. So from the very beginning, God wants to bless humanity, and humanity continues to find ways to make it about us instead of about him. See, when he blesses us, we're supposed to go, wow, look at you. But what we've created is a system where he blesses us and we go, look at me. And that's not what he's created. Look at how good I am. Look how great I am. Look at all I've accomplished. And we're supposed to say, no, look at what God has done through this lump of clay. Amen. Through this pile of carbon atoms, so to speak, right? Look what he's accomplished with me, even with me. So let's think about this reality for a second. The song states it this way. I'm not preaching a song. I'm preaching the truth that the song is conveying. Let me just make sure everybody understands that. If the song was really beautiful and it was talking about my wife, it's truth, but I won't take your Sunday to do that. This is talking about the theology of God, right? This is not just some songwriter's gift. It's speaking the truth of the Scripture. So that's why we're taking some time to dig into this. And this is one of those statements that just has depth to it, has reality to it. For once you have spoken, all nature and science follow the sound of your voice. Once he spoke things, when he says it, all that we understand to be nature and all of scientific study and discovery is chasing after what he simply spoke. That's powerful. Think about this. He said, let there be light. And light happened. And everything that we know and understand, we've been trying to grasp that ever since. We are following the sound of his voice. Like, he speaks it and then we try to figure out and put some rules and parameters around it. But he just speaks it and it is. He said, let us create man in our own image. And ever since that moment, medical science and technology is trying to figure out how in the world he pulled this off. We're trying to understand it. We're following. We're chasing after. Because he's the innovator. He's the creator. And we are simply following in his voice and what he speaks. And we're trying to make sense and follow it. And trying to pursue it. And trying to gain understanding of that. Isn't that powerful? That everything we've leveraged, I mean, all the technology around us in our modern world is trying to capture or trying to harness the concepts that God simply spoke with a simple word. Powerful. Powerful. Trying to learn that and understand it, to duplicate it, to figure out. Blood is one of those anomalies that I love to consider. Because we can't make blood. Isn't that funny? We've got it all scientifically figured out on this planet, but what does the Scripture say about blood? The life is in the blood. And we're like, well, how's that? It's just blood. You pour it on the ground and it gets crusty, right? It leaks out of you in scabs, right? What is that? Because God designed it that way. He spoke it. He said the life is in the blood. And so guess what scientists can't make? Because they can't create it. They can't do it. All the science in the world doesn't have the creative power that God simply is. His authority. He says life. He's the giver of life. He's the God of his promise. And he speaks and all of science just chases after trying to keep up. It's back in the day like when Apple had the corner on the market and everybody else was trying to catch up with a touchscreen, right? Oh, we got one too. Oh, we got one too. And everyone's chasing after and everybody's caught him now. But we're not catching God. No matter how fast we get, no matter how creative we get, he simply speaks. And innovation is something we're chasing after that. We're following the sound of his voice. It's a beautiful picture of what God is accomplishing there. We can't make blood, no matter how smart we get, no matter how intelligent we get. We have to borrow it from other living things that God created. We have to take it from that and take it from that. Look, we did it too. You know, no, the blood is a gift that he gives life to. And the living things that all surround us. They're simply managing resources that God speaks into existence. And as he speaks, 100 billion creatures catch his breath. They breathe in his life. That's only possible because of what he has created and established and is what he speaks through his word and his promise. It's beautiful. We aren't fans of evolution, so we won't go into that. I know the song says evolving in pursuit of what he says, but we all know things change and things morph and adapt to some degree, so we won't debate them on their theology of evolving. We're not going to go into the theory of evolution. Everybody okay with that? All right, we'll just move right along because we know God created it, and that's fine. So we'll move along. So, but these things are pursuing, like a flower follows the sunlight, right? These things are chasing, these living things are chasing after his breath and his life that he gives. We just lean to the light. We're just following after his voice and his breath of what he's accomplished. That he spoke and therefore it is, and we live because of it, all of it, every single word. The song issues another challenge. If all of life, if everything living, I don't know why, but maybe it's because the song's kind of inspired and challenging me a little bit. But lately I've noticed there's these Planet Earth videos on TV. Has anybody watched those? Planet Earth and Planet Earth 2. And they've got these things, Africa. And this British dude just talks for 2 hours while they show up close crazy videos of little animals doing weird things, right? I'm just like, whoa. And glaciers creeping through Alaska, you know, by melting and reforming over here. And like, it's alive. I'm like, no, it's not. It's ice. Anyway, okay. But yeah. And, you know. And those things are just, all this imagery is just popping through my head because the intricacy of what God's created, they're all fulfilling exactly the purpose that he's accomplished them for. I saw some flamingos stuck in a frozen lake yesterday. That was hilarious. It was on they live in this high elevation, and it's tropical elevation mountains, and it's blazing hot in the daytime. You'll burn in 4 minutes exposed sun, and then at nighttime you'll freeze, and the lake freezes over, and the flamingos are literally, they're on their sticks, they're stuck until the sun comes back up and melts the ice and makes it tropical hot again. And they're like, this is great. It was really funny watching them fall down in the ice. Anyway, every one of these creatures, every one of these animals is fulfilling the design. This bird they've got flying, it's got a lower scooped beak. It's long. It's got an underbite. You seen that guy? He's got because he just skims along the water and scoops stuff out. And it shows the little ones trying to figure it out before it's fully, and they're just dragging along the ground and falling over and stuff. And they're figuring, and you're telling me that happened by chance? Just randomly happened? Like, oh, look at the perfected design that it absolutely requires for that to even possibly happen. And you're saying that just randomly happened by chance. You've got to be out of your ever-loving mind. The specificity, the perfection of what he's created, all these living things, the billions and billions. You know we're grossly outnumbered by ants. You guys know that, right? They could take this place if they wanted it. You know what I'm saying? We ain't got enough boots. Here they come. You know, the billions of created things that are existing and accomplishing, creating and working and doing what it is that they're created to do, all happening right now, breathing a breath just like you and I. Billions of things on this planet created at the sound of his voice. Just doing what he's created them to do. And if they are all simply reflecting his glory, because that's what happens, right? When you see this perfected animal existing in the place where only it could survive and thrive in, you go, wow, somebody made that happen. And I give praise to God because of his genius and what he's done in these created things around us. And all of them take a breath together. And with that breath, let's take a breath together. Every breath we have is praising him. And now you realize how bad the person next to you needs a mint. But that's okay. You know, we've got those in the back. And they go quick. You got to get to church early if you want a mint. Okay. Every breath brings his glory into the situation. And if through my words as a created being, through my actions, through my living, it all reveals his nature, his goodness, who he really is. I'll reflect that and I reveal that. I flesh out his nature through the life that I live and the decisions and choices that I make. I reveal his goodness to the world around me. It's powerful. We have to own that idea with some integrity, with some resolution, with some resolve, with some tenacity even. Got to grab a hold of that idea and say, okay, if what I say and do is not reflecting his nature, then why am I doing it? Right? If there's things, and take a moment as we're in the middle of a sermon, we can have a moment of introspection together. We can think this out and apply it. If there are things, there are actions in my life, if there are attitudes that I carry, if there are words that I say and think and express, if there are things in me that do not reveal his nature, then why am I doing them? Why do I allow that to be part of who I am? Because what I was designed for was to reflect and reveal his glory and his nature. Just as every other created thing around me that's living and breathing on this planet, it's all reflecting his glory. So if there's things that I'm doing that don't reflect his glory, then I am out of place. I am misappropriating his resources. You're like, well, Pastor, I'm in charge of me. Yeah, you are, but you don't have a clue what's the best for you unless you learned it from him. It's powerful to recognize that. There's a phrase that somebody came to our church in PA and really challenged us with this concept, and it's a phrase that's a great prayer, and I've carried it with me, and I want to share it with you today. God, if it's you, I want all of it. And if it's not you, I don't want any of it. As things come to your heart, as things come to your mind, decisions to make, opportunities to pursue, ways to live out your life and express who you are and whatever's going on in your life, stuff to wear, whatever. God, if it's you, I want all of it. I want a hunger for God, right? We're hungry for what he wants us to live and have and breathe and be. So God, if it's you, I want all of it. Give every bit of it to me. And God, if it's not you, I don't want any of it. Are we that committed to our faith? Are we that committed to our reflecting his glory? Have we submitted our plans to him? Or are we making him suggest stuff and we'll see if it makes the cut or not? If it's him, I want all of it, don't you? And if it's not him, I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want anything to do with it if it's not him. That's not who he's created me to be. You can fill in some blanks there. If there's anger issues, if there's habits and things that don't reflect his glory, then why are they a part of your life? You're like, well, I'm stuck in it. No, you're not. You're a created being given the freedom to be and express who God's created you to be. Rise up, men and women of God, and be what he has designed and created you to be. Be what he has gifted you to be. If it's him, we want all of it. If it's not him, I don't want anything to do with it. The song pushes deeper. I can see your heart in everything you say. This God of promise. And here's the reality about promises. There's a sad truth to promises. In our modern day, promises have been redefined. Not coughing into the microphone. Okay. Promises have been redefined. Promise is now defined as I really, really wish. I'll really, really try. But that's not what a promise is. That's man's version or reality of how we fail at trying to keep our promises. Right? Has anybody here ever had a promise made to them that was broken? Yeah. And that broken promise, and maybe some of you have had a lot of promises broken. And the more promises you have broken, the more you factor that into the equation. When someone says promise, you bring all that baggage right onto that word, don't you? I promise I'll do this for you. And all of a sudden you boom, you flash back to the 17 promises that were broken to you. And so you know that that means, well, it'll be nice if, but it's probably not going to happen. Right? So when God says he promises something, we're like, oh, that's sweet. He's going to try real hard. But that's not who he is. Because when he says it, it is. And when he makes a promise, it is truth. So we can't project man's misuse of promises onto God's reality of the promise of what he's done and what he said. His promise is truth. It's reliable. It's not going to fall out from underneath you like many of the promises we've all experienced. In fact, his word tells us in Matthew chapter 5 not to make promises. He says, don't make vows and don't make promises. Don't swear by this or that. He says, just let your yes be yes and your no be no, because you can't control anything outside of it. You guys have heard the phrase, right? I swear on a stack of Bibles. Well, that's nice, but you didn't write a word of that. And you can't make one word of it truth or not. You can't determine any reality of it. You probably don't even know how to run a printing press to print one. Right? You have no authority over that stack of Bibles you're supposedly associating with. You can't change it one bit. Or swear on your granddaddy's grave, right? What good is that? You're going to raise him back up and change it? Like you have no authority there. So God says, don't be swearing by things and making promises on things that you can't keep. Don't make these promises because you don't have that sort of authority. But on the other hand, God says, I have that authority. Because I can speak things into existence. I can fulfill exactly what I say. I mean, let's face it, many times our promises are broken because factors come into the equation that we can't control. You make a promise to your kids, and it's just a glorified lie. It's really a nice intention, right? We'll do that, but oh gosh, how are we going to do that? How are we going to make that, right? It's just a fancy lie. But a lot of times there's factors where we really intended to do it, but there's factors that come in that we can't control. The car breaks down, and now we can't afford to do that. And so stuff is out of your control, but guess what? I know somebody who's never lost control. He's never been taken by surprise. His name is God. And he has all authority. He is not surprised. He is not out of authority. He is not taken unawares. It's all subject to his control. So in Matthew 5, when he says, don't swear by this or that, just let your yes be yes and your no be no. God is a God of promise, providing life and blessing for every generation because he can back it up. He is in control. Like the stars above, he paints every sky, empowering it to reveal him and to inspire us. If creation still obeys him, where do we land there? I'm either his creation or I'm not, right? In creation, all of creation that I see obeys him. These stupid butterflies start in the bottom of the jungle and just work their way up, and they fly all the way up to the top of this mountaintop or something just to meet other butterflies and do their thing, right? If creation just simply obeys him, you're like, wow, Pastor, you need to get off the TV. You've watched too much of that nature show. It's just mesmerizing stuff, man. If creation just simply obeys him, it just simply accomplishes what he's created it for. If it's doing that, then where is my role in that? Shouldn't I do the same? Shouldn't I simply do what he's created me to do and be what he's created me to be? That would include me. Either I'm his creation or I'm not, so I have to respond in kind. Now the song moves into a refrain that gains momentum here. And this is the part where the music picks up a little bit and it changes because it starts kind of restating all these statements again. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. If the oceans roar your greatness. Oh my goodness, Jennifer, tell us about the ocean. Okay, no time. Okay. She's been traveling and deep sea diving and blah, 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 blah. Beautiful. If the oceans are roaring his greatness, all the stuff that we see above ground, there's a whole lot more going on below the water level, right? And it's all roaring and surging and raging His greatness of what He's done. If the stinking fish in the ocean are giving glory to God, why can't I do it? Why can't I rise up into what He's created me to be and say no to the things that displease Him and say yes to the stuff that does and be what He's called me to be? Just rise up into that moment. This could go on and on. If everything exists to lift you high, so will I. This is my favorite line. We talked about it all last week. If the wind goes where you send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. Jesus said that as He entered Jerusalem in Luke 19. If the rocks cry out in silence, if they don't, we're going to have to. Or we don't, they're going to have to. Because they're just crying out in praise for who He is. If the sum of all of our praises, if all the millions of us, all totaled together, if all of our praises fall short, guess what? We'll just do it a couple more 100 billion times. Because that's a poor head count of all the planet right now. All the animals, the plants, the people, the ants, right? All of it. All praising Him. And if it's all praising Him over and over with every single breath that we take, it's a poor head count. That 100 billion times is actually pretty shallow, isn't it? Sounds like a big number, but man, we can just go on and on about the goodness of God and the greatness of who He is. So, Pastor, how do I go about praising Him? Okay, Pastor, this is really motivating. I'm charged up. I'm ready to go. I'm on the edge of my seat. How do I do this? Well, how do I praise my favorite team? Don't talk about my Steelers. It happens, you know. You're from Kansas City. We all understand losing, right? Right? It's playoff games, right? I mean, we get this, right? Come on, somebody give me something. Right? It happens. Hey, every year there's 31 losers in the NFL, okay? 31 losing teams, okay? Anyway. How do I praise my favorite team? Oh, Shauna's leaving. No, don't leave, Shauna. How do I praise my favorite team? I just talk about them. I might stand up and jump and run around the house, right? Might throw stuff at the TV if it's not going, whatever, right? I will respond. I will react because of my passion, because of my design, my affinity, my connection. I will do something. I'll talk about them to strangers. I'll tell them stuff, right? And it'll bring them praise. What if there was a team that had no fans? The Browns, is that what you said? Okay. You'd be surprised. There's people that love their Browns, right? The only reason that happens is because they have an affinity, they have a connection with them, and so they sing their praises, and they have hope, and they joy in that relationship. I've moved on to basketball. Go Duke. Okay. Anyway, but we have that. How do I praise my wife? Just make this simple. How do I praise her? I get down on my knees and I'm begging her, please marry me. Spend the rest of your life with me, please. I need to be next to you. You make me better, right? I praise her because I speak that out to her. I say that. I express it. I live that out. I create ways. I invent ways. I don't have to be told how to love my wife. Come on, somebody. Amen. I don't have to be explained, here's what you do if you love a woman. Now I know what to do. It's full in my heart and I can't help but express it. Because that love and that passion is there because I realize what I'm designed for and what I get to do and what I get to be. You don't have to tell me how to praise my kids. I don't need to be explained. How do I do this? How do I praise my kids? I talk about them all the time. I build them up. I love on them. I hug them, wrestle them, and give them noogies and wedgies and good stuff. I praise my kids. I put myself into their life. I'm around them, next to them. I give them everything that I've got. How do I do this, Pastor? How do I give praise? Well, you know how. Because you do it all the time. For something. Right? Everything I am is praising something. And it all is supposed to praise God. Over and over, it's supposed to give Him glory. So how do I praise my team or my wife or my kids? How do I praise my God, Pastor? Well, I say it's all of the above. I get on my knees and I beg him to be a part of my life. I run around the house singing his praise and lifting. I throw my hands up in the air and I shout it at the top of my lungs and I write it in a journal and I read a love letter that he wrote to me and I invest my life and I pour everything I've got into this because it's what I was designed for. It's what you were designed for. I had the privilege of doing a funeral yesterday, leading a funeral service in a room largely full of people probably, I mean, I can safely say that a lot of people probably weren't in the right relationship with God. And they're viewing this situation, I mean, death is sad without a relationship with Christ. There's no hope, it's over. But I get to stand there and say, you know what, I didn't know this individual, but I sure know a God that I was designed to be in relationship with. I got all kinds of stories about him. He and I, we go way back. That should be our story. That should be who we are. Not just the pastor, not just the preacher, but every single one of us expressing the goodness and the glory and the praise of God. We go on and on. How do I do this, Pastor? You sing it out. You paint it bright. You play it beautifully. You craft it perfectly, on purpose, with passion. Stars shine. Goats climb. Grass grows, flowers bloom, ants work, eagles soar, hearts beat, hands help, feet go. That's what happens. We figure out what it is we were created to be and do, and we express that with all of our strength, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, everything that we've got. What in the world are we exchanging our energy for? I mean, what a sad exchange, right? To take something meant for such a high, holy purpose and settle for such a lower use. We give it all to God. So what does this mean today? How can you and I do this? As I prayed before we started preaching, I'm challenging us, and not just you, but myself as well. I'm challenging us, and I believe the Holy Spirit's challenging us to find a way, to make a way, to create an opportunity to reveal God, to bless somebody, to help someone, to love people, even the ones that haven't earned it from you yet. Those are tough, right? I don't know that person. Well, why not? You can now. What about the ones who have wronged us even? Hey, we've got to figure out a way to love even those, right? I mean, Jesus found a way with me. And he's my example. So I've got to find a way. I've got to create a way. I hope that the loved ones in your life don't exactly have to tell you how to be a blessing to them. I hope you have the energy and the creative ability to know them in relationship and figure out what it is that you can do to bless them. That's called a relationship. I don't want to step on anybody's toes here, but if I have to get clear and direct instructions from my wife on what to do for her birthday to make her happy, I don't know her very well. And I'm sure not going to venture into clothes or jewelry. God help me, I have no clue. But if I don't have a figure out, if I don't have a way, or if I don't know or understand a way to express my affection and my genuine feeling and love for her, if I have to have her tell me how to do that, then I don't know if I'm really motivated that well or not. Right? You can't keep me from doing it because it's who I am, it's what I'm created to be and do. And I think our love for God should be very similar. Many times we'll stand paralyzed asking for God to tell us exactly what to do so that we can do it and be obedient. And that's a genuine heart. I understand that. But I think it's falling short of the genius that God has instilled in you. And that's his creative ability, that he's a God of his promise. What he speaks, life follows. And he's given us that ability to create and to instill and to bring life to situations. I don't speak things to life, but I do get to live them out and express them. And reflect that glory to him. So I'm challenging us, and I believe the Holy Spirit's challenging us, to create a way, figure out something that we can do, find out what it is that you are passionate about, whatever it is your gifting and your talents are, and to give that to Him, to shine it as brightly for Him as you possibly can. Because you've only got this one life opportunity to do it. Chad, if you'd help us out, Pastor. Some keys at the end here.
Pastor Steve invites you to respond to what you've just heard by putting it into action today. Thanks for listening.